copying another designer that's more successful than you in your eyes is not going to help you become successful, because you have to pave your own path and do things in your own way. That's why designers ultimately achieve success, because they let their personality shine. And if you're basing what you're doing off of somebody else, it's not going to be letting your personality shine. It's going to be diminishing your personality. And that's the thing that makes you unique.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand, graphic, and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at AventiveAcademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. I'm thrilled to have you join us today as we dive into the world of content creation for social media, specifically tailored to attract graphic designers, graphic brand and web designers. We'll be speaking with an expert in the field, Kenzie, and Kenzie is the luxury brand and web designer behind Kenzie Green Design and co-founder of The Brief Collective Design Business Academy. Kenzie it's fantastic to have you here with us. And before we dive in, could you please introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
Yes. So I've had to practice this over the years because I just keep expanding into more things and keep having to re-describe how I talk about myself. But I am the founder of Kenzie Green Design, a luxury brand and web design studio. I also host a podcast called the Unapologetic Designer Podcast. So that is for designers as well, very similar to what you do. And then I am also the co-founder of The Brief Collective, which is a design community and online education resource for brand and website designers. And we're really all about helping designers break the starving artist mentality that we often see creatives struggling with and see our society kind of push onto people who want to go into creative fields.
Yeah, I love that. That is a really good intro. I know you mentioned you practice it a lot, but it's amazing.
Thank you. I really just kind of winged that. I mean, I knew I was going to say, okay, I got to check this thing. So thank you.
Yeah. And can you share a little bit about your background? How long have you been in the design industry? How it has all started? So yeah, just give us your journey.
Well, I got introduced to the idea of graphic design when I was in middle school. And I'm sure most people can relate that are creative, you kind of like painting and are craftsy. But then I also liked playing video games, and I was graphic design seems a really cool way to combine art and digital things. So I got a refurbished desktop Mac, and I started using paint and stuff, the basic, really terrible stuff, but it introduced me to graphic design. And then I took an Adobe Illustrator class in high school, and I was yep, this is it. I want to be a graphic designer. And so I did go to a private art school to get my bachelor's degree in interactive media design, which is basically graphic design, but it also introduced me to photography, filmmaking, animation, and a lot of different creative skills that I actually use in my design business. And when I went to college, I had never intended to start my own business. You know, I kind of thought, okay, I'm going to go get my degree and go work for a design agency. That's what you do, right? That's what society tells us. And then someone had came and spoke at our school, and I didn't know who he was at the time. He was a very famous author, a very famous motivational speaker. And he had just so happened to give me a copy of his book. I read this book and it ended up inspiring me to start my own freelance business while I was still in college. And I had like a total transformational mindset shift and was like, I want to become an entrepreneur. I'm going to become a self-employed designer and I'm going to graduate fully self-employed. And that is what I did. And I have been running my design studio ever since then. I've been running my studio for over 5 years now. That was back in like 2019. And then a few years into running my studio, I ended up co-founding The Brief Collective because I met another designer and we realized there were all these similar issues happening in our own design businesses. And we were hearing complaints from other designers and we started getting questions like, how are you booking these big clients? How are you doing this? And that's kind of why we started The Brief Collective.
Yeah, I love that. And are you now a solo freelancer or do you have an agency?
So the really cool thing about The Brief Collective is that I myself am still a solopreneur. I like working by myself. I don't play well with others. Never have. So I like being in control of everything. And I feel like there's this big push that like the goal is to become an agency. And like for some people, like you're better off just working for yourself. Like if that's where you're comfortable, you can do that and still make a very good living. And my co-founder, she has a creative agency. So she does have a team of people and like we get to like bring both of those sides together and like learn from each other, but also teach our students like what it's like being on both sides of having an agency versus solopreneur life.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you. So I invited you to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast because I saw your reel on Instagram. And in that reel, you mentioned that you have over 60,000 followers, I believe. And yet you entered 2024 with zero clients. And then you said your focus was on something else. So it's understandable why you didn't have any clients. But what stood out is that once you realized, okay, it's time to bring in some clients. You started creating content for clients again. So you were able to land a client in just a few days, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm saying all of this for our audience to understand the context behind my questions. Now, could you please tell us who your audience is and what is that you created for them so that you were able to start attracting more clients to your business? Like what kind of content?
Yeah, so I primarily create content that attracts clients on my main design business account. And I do have about 65,000 followers right now. And I want to like add a side note. I think that's this really big misconception that like once you get a certain number of followers, you just always have clients and like magically don't really have to put in the work anymore. And that is so far from the truth. Like you still have to work to get clients and attract them. And my energy had kind of really been on teaching designers last year. So that's where I was really focused. And that's how I ended up like, you know, I was so focused on helping other people. I let my own business kind of fall through the cracks. So I sat down and decided first off to revisit my messaging because, you know, as designers, we kind of change, evolve and grow over time. And I felt like it was time for me to revisit my messaging and see like, do I need to update some things to better resonate with the type of clients I want to be working with? And so I updated my messaging. I did a website refresh in like one day. And then I did a passion project. I posted that. And then in addition, I decided to do a video of an ugly website. And in this video, I'm using a photographer's website, which I made up. I made it ugly on purpose. And I was like, here's what not to do. And then I was like, wait a second, I can turn this into a series. So then I turned it into a series and people started really, really enjoying it. I ended up turning it into a freebie. And that series is ultimately what attracted two new clients in my inbox. I booked one of them. I sent out a 13K proposal to the other one. And that all happened within like the span of a few weeks. And I like to say that that was only possible because instead of like, you know, freaking out and making decisions out of fear, I just listened to my creativity and was able to lean into my ideas. And my ideas brought me to where, you know, I needed to go. I needed clients. So I think that like, when we get in those situations where we don't have clients and don't have inquiries, sometimes we end up making decisions that maybe don't lead to our desired outcome because we're just coming from a place of scarcity instead of, okay, what do I need to do to make this happen and like keep that positive mindset?
Yeah, definitely. And I love that because it's totally true. I remember when, you know, I was starting my business, I think It was like 2016, 17, and I didn't have clients. And I'm like, should I go to Craigslist? Do I go on Facebook groups? Do I connect with people on LinkedIn? Like, what do I do? Because I was in that, like, you know, scarcity mindset, like, how do I get clients? And then you try to do everything and anything, and then you don't get clients like that. So I love that you were, like, basically brave to just focus on that one thing because you believed and trusted your systems and processes that clients will come that way. Who is your target audience when it comes to your clients? I know you mentioned you're a luxury brand and web designer, but can you tell us what does that mean?
So to get more specific, I really speak to, first off, women. I love working with women, but women who are really embracing their, like, dark feminine energy. They're very bold, very outspoken on social media. So am I. So, like, I really try to target people who have similar personality traits that I value. So a lot of my content, I am storytelling, or yes, I share, like, educational tips and tricks. Here's what not to do. Here's what to do. But I'm also storytelling in a way that, like, my ideal clients value, because I know how they act in their business is also the same way I show up in mine. So that makes it really easy for me to just be myself and naturally align with these women of businesses who are ready to invest in a brand identity, who value my outspoken personality, who are going to get along with me really well, and also, like, respect my process.
Yeah. And so to go back to that content that you were creating to attract more clients, you know, for our listeners, maybe it will sound like it took you, like, half an hour or hour to create a reel or a post. Like, how long did it really take, and how many posts did you really have to make?
Well, I think, first off, an important thing to know is that I have been consistently posting for years. I've made actually over 1,000 Instagram posts, and I think that's really important to know, because I know how I like to show up online and I know how I like to present my content because I've had so much time to experiment and I've made so much content. So, like, I think that's a key piece to being able to make content that really works for your business and attracts those clients. But I was spending probably at least a few hours every morning doing the Ugly Website series. And even when I, like, do passion projects and, like, present those videos, it's taking me, like, 2 hours, I'd say, typically, to make the content, edit the content, make, like, the design that's being featured in the content. And I really do spend a lot of time making sure that the video is engaging. Like, I don't just record something, slap it on a video, and post it. I'm sitting there editing each and every clip. How can I make this better? How can I make this the best it can possibly be for people who have the audio on and people who don't have the audio on? And, like, I'm thinking about all of these different aspects. And I feel like that's where a lot of people don't understand. Like, you do have to put a lot of time behind editing to make it work. It's not just post your work and get clients. Like, you have to spend way more time thinking about what you're posting, because just because you post something doesn't mean that it's designed to convert into clients. Like, it doesn't work anymore like that.
Yeah. And do you post on Instagram only, or what other social media platforms do you use?
So TikTok and Instagram are my number one lead generators. And that's primarily where I'd say at least, like, 90% of my clients come from. I do have a Facebook page. I do have Pinterest, but I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok.
And are you on YouTube?
I am, but most of my YouTube content is geared towards other designers. And I have had a client come from YouTube before, but that was years ago. So it's not really a lead generator for me.
Okay. And so you mentioned you spend a lot of time creating content. Can you walk us through, like, content creation process, like, from start to finish? So get an idea, and then you probably write the script, but I'll let you walk us through that.
Yeah. So I like to create content when I feel inspired. It seems that a lot of people plan out their content in advance. I'm not a planner. So what works for me is literally just, like, in the moment when I get an idea, if something happens to me that I want to talk about or there's something that I want to say, I will usually go into my notes and actually write down what it is I want to say and kind of how I want to say it. And then I'll go film maybe me editing a brand identity or creating something. And then I'll take that, turn it into a video, add my voiceover. And usually I'm sitting there recording the voiceover a few different times to get it to the point where it's as clear, conscious, and simple as it can possibly be. Because a lot of times we start out with like this big grand idea, and then you have to sit there and work out, okay, how can I make it smaller and shorter and straight to the point as possible? And sometimes that takes like a few tries of recording the voiceover or typing it out over and over again.
Yeah. And are there any specific tools or resources you recommend for design professionals looking to like maybe streamline their social media content creation process? Like, what do you use to organize your posts, write scripts, film, and edit?
Well, first off, this mini mic. I love having this mini mic. It's really cheap. I got it off Amazon, and it actually does help with the audio quality. And then having like a small tripod, I think those are like must-haves, as well as making sure you're filming in like a well-lit area. I see people making the mistake of it being dark or like not, people can't see what's going on in the video good. Like, you have to make sure when you're setting up to record, when somebody's looking at that screen, what is their focus on? Is it on your screen? Is it on the thing you want them to be looking at? Or is it way up here because you didn't position the phone correctly? Like, all those little details matter. And then in terms of editing, I use CapCut primarily. Sometimes I do use Adobe Premiere Pro, but most of the time I'm using CapCut simply for the fact that it's easier and just right there on my phone.
Yeah, I love that. I use InShot for editing. Just wanted to add another app out there for our listeners. You mentioned consistency. So what would you say, how important is consistency in posting and engagement on social media platforms? And what are some strategies for maintaining consistency over time?
Well,
I know it's a big question.
Yeah. When I first started out on Instagram, when I started my business, you know, video content wasn't even a thing. And I started posting more frequently and I was like, I really want to grow my account. And so I had made a promise to myself that Monday through Friday, every day at 12 o'clock PM, I was going to make a post and put it on my social media. And I did that. And I did that for probably over 2 years with little to no growth. I was sitting there watching these other people just blow up, have accounts go insanely viral, having been on the platform for maybe under a year. And I was like, what on earth am I doing wrong? Like, I'm so tired. But I think a lesson in that is that you have to keep going even when you're not seeing the results you want. So I kept on making content, and then eventually short form video content came out and I was like, okay, this is something new. Let me learn how to do this. And I started posting short form video content on my Instagram, and that's when my account finally like got the recognition it deserved. So, I mean, you have to want the growth and want to build that brand awareness to be consistent. Like, it's not easy to show up Monday through Friday. Now, at this point in my business, I do post a few times a week, but I'm nearly active on Instagram stories at least Monday through Friday, almost like every single day. Like, there's basically not a weekday where you can't go to my profile and there's nothing on my Instagram story. And that's simply because showing up is so important because it keeps you at the top of mind for potential clients and for referrals. Like, you can't post two times and like disappear and think you're going to get clients, because chances are people are going to forget about your services. And there's other people who are posting more than you. So you got to realize that they're probably going to remember those people because they're constantly seeing their face. They're constantly seeing their work. And that's why I'm always so active, is because all these people are seeing the content I'm posting and they're remembering me. Whereas if you post twice and then disappear for a while and then come back, people might even be like, who is that? And end up unfollowing you. So that's why I think the whole consistency and just like making a schedule that works for you is really important. That doesn't mean you have to show up every single day, but it means you need to be showing up consistently, whether that's posting three times and going on stories Monday through Friday, whatever that schedule looks like you have to repeat it.
Yeah. And would you say that Instagram and TikTok are the best for like getting leads and potential clients for designers?
I think it depends on your target audience. So like a lot of my women-owned business owners who like kind of show up in the same way I show up, they are hanging out on TikTok, they are hanging out on Instagram, but you know, if you're going for a totally different audience, they may be hanging out on LinkedIn. Like, I think it really depends on who you're trying to target and knowing the type of business and knowing what platforms are they using that you need to be on so they can come across your profile.
Yeah, I love that because a lot of designers focus on Instagram because Instagram is a visual platform and we all love it, right? But sometimes their target audience is simply not there. While they maybe have Instagram profile, I mean, I think everyone in the world has it, right? But that doesn't mean that they're looking for a designer there and doesn't mean that they're in the business mindset. Maybe they're looking into their friends' dogs or something. You know, it's not, that doesn't mean, you know, they're not in the business world. Maybe they hang out on LinkedIn or go to networking events or would rather search on Google. So, you know, it doesn't mean that every single designer has their audience on Instagram, but I love that you mentioned defining your target audience. I think that that is one of the key problems, I would say, and you know that as well, because you educate designers when it comes to business side, when they're like, oh, my target audience is small business owners. I'm like, what does that even mean? Where do you even start from? Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign five-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach six figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. Here is what Julia said.
It really has everything you could ever ask for to build a six-figure business that will allow you to have financial freedom. And that's why I personally did it. Like, I wanted that flexibility.
So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode. Can you give us now some tips about like defining your target audience? I know that this wasn't meant to be about defining target audience, but how can designers really figure out what type of content they need to create for their target audience, you know, starting with actually knowing who the target audience is?
I love this question, and I'll give a really specific answer because I think that it's really important for people to understand. So like, you don't have to niche by industry. I think that's first thing that everyone thinks is I need to find the industry that I like working with. And there's so many different ways to like find a target audience that don't involve that. You can niche by industry. Yes. You can niche by company size, by style of work you do, and by personality type. Mine is personality type. So like, I still work with a lot of different industries, a lot of people that do different things, but they're all women. They're all making above six figures and they all are showing up with the same personality type that I like to work with. So if you want to work with wellness professionals, then it's a given that you should be creating content that wellness professionals need to know. What are some things that make them different from other clients? Well, if they have a therapeutic clinic, they may need an online portal. You could be making content about how to optimize your website to get more bookings in for your clinic, things like that. So I think knowing your audience and knowing what type of problems they may be experiencing or what goals they have really plays a huge role in what type of content you should be creating. I also see designers making the mistake of creating content for other designers when they're trying to get clients. Like, just because you see other designers doing that does not mean that you need to be doing that, especially if you want clients.
Yeah, definitely. And the also like one of the mistakes that I see is that everyone starts, and it's okay doing the mistakes and we all learn from them, but did they talk all about like what type of logos there you know exist, what type of websites, they talk about website platforms and whatnot when trying to get clients. Well, that is fine. That will attract designers and not so much clients, because clients' end goal is to get that logo or get that website so that they can attract more customers or clients to their business or sell more products. So if you're talking about different logo types, that doesn't mean much to them, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people try to make content that they think is helpful, but it's helpful for them because they understand the terminology. Like, clients do not care about that stuff. They care about the result that you're going to bring to their business. So if you're making a video and a client scrolls across it and there's no immediate value proposition as to why they should keep watching and how it's going to benefit them, then it's probably not going to convert into the lead that you want it to.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that you made some changes to your website when it comes to content. So you created the reels, the videos about ugly websites. And so that attracted people, but then also you were sending them to your website and you made some changes there.
Yes. So in addition to like redefining my messaging, I also updated the visuals to reflect that messaging, because before I had this website that had like a lot of, I was using like browns as my primary color and it was very beige. And I also had people copy some things that I had done on my website, which is a given that has happened to me so many times, especially being an educator. I kind of feel like, I'm sure you can relate, that's like the risk we take because people want to be like you and they end up copying you, even though it probably isn't the smartest thing for their business. Anyways, so I had to change some things for that reason, but also I wanted to speak more to my target audience. So I actually updated a lot of the colors. I restructured a lot of the layout. I recently got some new brand photos back. I updated my photos and just made something that felt more in line with the people I was speaking with, and also just felt more of who I am today, because like I said earlier, that changes as we grow and evolve as designers. So that also gave me like an extra boost of confidence. Like, yes, this website's ready to go. The messaging's ready to go. I'm ready to make this content and attract these clients, and it's going to convert because I know I'm speaking directly to the people I want to work with.
Yeah. And did you have to make some changes to your portfolio as well, or that was as it was?
Yeah, actually part of updating my website was eliminating a lot of the projects in my portfolio. And I think we have a tendency to want to display like a lot of our work, and really we should only be displaying our best work. And I've done so many projects. My portfolio had just started getting really filled up, and I was like, let me eliminate a lot of this stuff and only post the projects that are going to resonate specifically with this very specific group of people. So I actually took away a lot of my work that's in there. And there are many projects I've done that simply aren't on there because it just doesn't make sense. Like, people don't need to see that much work to decide if they want to work with you.
Yeah. And every time when a designer would ask me, like, how many portfolio pieces do I need? I'm always like, just have six. Like, have six good case studies. I mean, you can have 10, but let's focus on having six really, really good case studies, because I feel like two is just not enough, even though... they can work if they're like really long and really like you showcase the whole project, like from start to end with a description and whatnot. But most designers just put everything and anything because they think that clients would like to see that, but we actually just overwhelm them.
And another thing is that they put a lot of their work without context. Like, having a lot of examples of your work with no context or in-depth explanation as to what you were doing and how you helped your client is not going to help you book clients, especially big clients. Like, that might help you book clients who want a low budget project, but if you're trying to book high ticket design clients, you need projects that are going into detail and explaining what you worked with the client on, why they hired you in the first place, what services you offered them, and like have examples of all of these different deliverables working together.
You also mentioned that some people would take something from your content, like copy your content. And I've had that happen to me as well, especially because I also educate designers when it comes to business of the design. And I've definitely found almost the same website that I have, that my branding and design agency has, even portfolio was very, very similar. It was so frustrating. But what would you say that is that designers would usually copy that would take away from you? Is it like a copy or work?
Probably the layout, like literally how I'm laying out my site, some of the maybe cool animation features I have. And yes, yeah, sometimes down to the copy. I had a call with someone once and I'm like, okay, here's what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. And then like 2 days later, I go look at their website and they almost copied me word for word. And I'm like, this is not what I meant. And like copying another designer that's more successful than you in your eyes is not going to help you become successful, because you have to pave your own path and do things in your own way. That's why designers ultimately achieve success, because they let their personality shine. And if you're basing what you're doing off of somebody else, it's not going to be letting your personality shine. It's going to be diminishing your personality. And that's the thing that makes you unique.
Yeah. And speaking of success, when you mentioned that you have over 65,000 followers, but no clients, can you just tell to our audience, how is that even possible when you have that many followers? Because I feel like a lot of designers try to chase the numbers, like, oh, I want to get more followers. I want to get to, you know, 5,000, 10,000. And then what? Like, what does it happen when you get there? Like, why aren't there clients?
Well, first off, I am a high ticket service provider. Most of my clients are spending on average between $10,000 and $12,000 on my brand and web projects. So that right there deters a lot of people. So like, although I may have a lot of followers, there's only a certain number of clients who are interested in working with me. And then there's like an even shorter amount who can actually afford to invest in the services I offer. So I think that those are important things to think about. It's nice to have a really big audience and be able to have conversations with a lot of different people. Like, I definitely love being able to meet all kinds of people in my DMs, have those conversations. And it is nice being able to have a really active comment section and really engage with people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm booking clients just because there's this big audience. Like, you can have 100 followers and 3 of those followers be your dream clients and post the right content and book 3 dream clients. So like, the numbers don't necessarily equal success.
Yeah, because I was in about 20,000 followers, 0 clients, but like 0 clients for months. Like, absolutely nothing was happening. And I wasn't even focused on something else. I was just focused on Instagram and things were not getting there. So yeah, because, you know, I get those questions a lot, like all the time, like, how do I get more followers? How do I get more followers? I'm like, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the quality of content you're creating.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people just, they overthink it to the point where they end up not making content. And that's really the worst thing you can do. Like, people overthink, well, is this post strategic enough? And at first, your posts don't really need to be all that strategic. I'd say it's more important to experiment and make a lot of content to figure out how you like to show up and increase your confidence, and then start focusing on, okay, is this strategic? Because up until you know how to show up and get comfortable in front of the camera, it's going to be far harder to create strategic content than if you've had enough practice and know how you like to show up. It's going to be a lot easier to think of ideas and present them in a way that works.
Yeah. And do you have a strategy for content creation?
So most of the, you know, a lot of people, I feel like they kind of have pillars, and I'd say like, maybe I do, but I kind of keep them in my mind. As I said earlier, I'm not a planning person. So like, a lot of people like have this whole process and organization and all these ideas stored somewhere. That's not how I operate at all. I'm very free flowing, go with the flow. So, you know, I'm sharing personal stories. Sometimes I'm responding to comments. I'm sharing passion projects and sharing information about like why brand identities are going to be beneficial, but I'm not doing it in a way that's boring. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people are running into. They're like, you need a brand identity because blah, blah, blah. And that's good and all, but people, there's so much content out there. You have to present it in a different way. Like, and that's what I'm talking about when I say you have to write down what you want to get across and figure out different ways to say it in an engaging format. Because it might be true that somebody needs a brand identity because X, Y, and Z, but how can you say that in a way that's going to make them pay attention? So I have like, you know, these different types of content. I say I kind of rotate throughout my brain, but like, I don't do it on like a set schedule. I don't have like a set list, but I know what type of content I need to be creating for my dream clients because I've just done it for so long.
Yeah. And the most important is you know who your dream clients are. And so do you think that, what would you say for design business owners? Should they focus more on like carousels or single images, or they should really dive into reels and video creation? Because, you know, many designers are still afraid of showing up in front of a camera and creating videos. So do you think that they can find success even without doing the reels and TikTok, or do you think that they should actually create videos as well?
Do I think they can find success without that? Yes. Do I think that it's going to be 10 times harder? Yes. For me, like I said, when I started doing in-feed posts and just static images, never really helped my account go anywhere. It wasn't until I started doing video content that my account took off. And it is a skill. Like, it's a skill that you have to learn. I never used to post on social media before I started my business. Like, I wasn't comfortable doing that, but I wanted my business to work so bad. I was willing to put myself out there, even though it was super uncomfortable, and learn how to do it because I knew I need to do this in order to get clients. So I think that if you want to make your life easier, you're going to have to do things that are uncomfortable, like learning how to make video content and put your face out there.
Yeah, definitely. And so now just a fun question. Tell me something you like absolutely love about social media and then something you hate about social media.
I love that it has allowed me to bring creatives together at the Brief Collective and meet all of these people and be the support that they don't have in their lives. I think a lot of creatives have people around them saying, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make enough money. You can't charge this much. You can't do this. And the internet has allowed me to get in front of these people and be that person saying, you can do this and you can charge this much. And here's proof. And don't listen to those people telling you otherwise. So I love that aspect. I hate the fact that it brings negative energy into your life. And I think that's kind of, again, like a risk factor, like something that you just kind of have to accept when you go into social media and start a business and start making content. There is going to be negativity that comes to it. You can say the nicest thing ever and there's still going to be negativity. That's just part of social media. I don't know why people feel the need to be negative, but I always have to remind myself like that's a reflection of them and what's going on in their life. And it has nothing to do with me.
I love that. Thank you so much. That was perfect. I want everyone to hear that because I was also getting a lot of negative comments and somehow they're mostly coming from men. I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on the podcast, but literally they're always like most of the time, always men. And I have blocked so many people and I block people all the time. As soon as I hear a negative comment, I'm like, I just don't want these people, this person around me. I just like block it. But yeah, well, thank you so much for being here. I think you covered absolutely everything I can think of when it comes to content creation and getting clients and explaining to designers that followers don't equal clients. And why is that? And so, yeah, as we wrap up, Kenzie, can you please share with our listeners where can they find more about you, your website, social media handles?
Yes. So Kenzie Green Design, there's no E on the end of Kenzie. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok. I have a YouTube channel with a lot of advice and tips for designers. And also my podcast, The Unapologetic Designer, I have over 70 episodes of like advice like this, very similar to you. And then of course, the Brief Collective, we have a lot of templates, resources. We also have a free workshop right now going on that people can go watch on how to close high ticket sales calls. And yeah, so there's a lot of avenues to connect with me.
Perfect. I'm going to include all those links in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being my guest.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I hope it wasn't like information overload. There's just so much to talk about, like so many points.
No, it was amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. But wait, before you go, If you enjoyed this podcast episode and want the chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams. Whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out, we've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.